Ace Podcast.
You're listening to the Crazy Town Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1, Part 2, with Jonas and TNT Dynamite.
Yo!
Hey TNT, have you ever heard of a Mexican standoff?
Yeah, it's when like a bunch of guys have guns pointed at each other's heads or something, right?
Right, kind of like Reservoir Dogs, you know, that's a classic one. But did you know that has an actual other name?
It has a name?
Yeah, it's called a truel. T-R-U-E-L. So, like, a triple duel.
Is this some shit you just made up?
No, it's on Wikipedia. It looks like it needs citations, so I think it should be more on Urban Dictionary. But,
uh-oh. But, no, that's cool, man. You're right. Teaching me something.
Hey.
So I can't call it a Mexican standoff anymore?
Unless you want to sound like a racist.
No. That's not something I want to sound like.
All right. Well, now that we've made sure that TNT Dynamite isn't a racist, enjoy the show.
Banyan, take three!
And welcome to the second part of the first episode of Season 2 of the Crazy Town Podcast. Episode 1.5, if you will. I am Jonas, your host, as always. With me is TNT Dynamite. Say hello to everybody.
What's up, TNT Dynamite here, the explosive one. TNT, D-I-N-O-M-I-G-H-T.
All right.
What's going on, Jonas?
Not much, man. Just, you know, chilling and recording a podcast with you, homie.
Yeah, that's what we do.
So we wanted to thank you all for listening today and always. If you aren't following us on Twitter, at the Crazy Town Pod, the cornucopia of continuous information about the podcast, thecrazytown.com. Real quick, to pay the bills, TNT, do you like audiobooks?
Dude. How did you know? Are you giving me one for my Christmas day?
No, but you know what we can give you is a free trial of Audible, a great podcasting or audiobook listening service on Amazon.
That's perfect.
Yes, go to audibletrial.com/crazytownpodcast for a free 30-day trial, and you'll be helping us out.
I think that's a great idea.
You should sign up, because I know you like audiobooks. That's it. I was just helping you out. I wasn't, like, pimping anything or selling out or anything like that.
No, but that's a good idea, because I like audiobooks some more. And anybody who does like audiobooks, they could probably put that in, too.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. So, anyways, we have a great show for you guys today. We have part two of the Sex Work BB podcast host interview with cam girls Shay Taylor and Kyra Kane. Great interview. If you haven't heard the first part, go back and check out the episode from last week. As always, we have some crazy news to talk about, you know, what we do, anything nuts like that. I do want to get into some fan things before we get anything started today. As we talked about in the last episode, and we will keep reiterating, we want to be the number one fan source of awesome interaction podcast out there. Please email us at crazytownpodcast@gmail.com. Send us articles you want us to talk about on the show. Crazy what-if questions. Anything like that. And we will, if we like it, we'll talk about it. We'll shout you out. And we don't want to forget about our voicemail line. The rant and rave Crazy Town voicemail line. What's the number, TNT?
I don't remember the first three. 578-527.
Don't confuse them. All right. It's already confusing enough.
I'm confused.
Everyone's confused. The number is 512.
512.
Tax 1 nip. We know you hate taxes and we know you love nipples.
Yeah.
Let's do that. It's the full number, 512-829-1647. Call us in Drunk Dial Us instead of your ex, or call and cuss us out. Whatever you want to do. It's great. I do have a quick fan email that somebody wrote in. I want to touch on because I want to get some of that every episode. Yeah, I know. We have John from Syracuse, New York. He writes in, "Hey Jonas and DNT, I was just curious how you two know each other. Do you just do the podcast, or have you known each other a long time? I love the show. Keep up the great work. You guys are awesome." And he says, "Rockin' the socks." I'm not sure what that means, but rockin' the socks, dude. Rock it out.
Yeah, maybe he knows me. You know me and my sock fetish.
Oh yeah, you do have a sock fetish. So TNT, do you want to tell them, or do you want to?
Yeah, I don't know. I moved to a small town in Ohio, and I was made friends with this one guy, and he ended up being like a nerd. So then I made friends with his older brother, and then lots of
and essentially I was friends with the older brother.
Yeah, lots of parties, man. Lots of parties.
Yeah, so he basically met a kid, he befriended a kid in a new town, then left that kid in the dirt to hang out with his older brother and all of his cool friends, which included me and everyone else.
Left him in the dirt.
No, he didn't leave him in the dirt. I mean, he's still...
He's still not a nice, you know, kind of, he wasn't getting any pussy.
Right? Oh, yeah, because we've got you so much pussy.
I think you have me maybe one pussy in my life. From
That's awesome. Well, so basically, yeah, we went to high school together. So we've known each other a while. He's a millennial. I'm not. He's the oldest millennial in the world. Millennial Jackson.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever, man.
Well, how long have we known each other? It was probably...
like 20 years? Something like that?
Has it been that god dang long?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Isn't it nuts?
I've known you since I was 5. That's crazy.
Yes. Can't believe you were in high school at 5 years old.
Yeah, well, yeah. Intellectual.
Well, you know. We know you are the smartest man on the planet.
Wow. No, I don't know shit. Don't get that started. I don't know a damn thing.
So... TNT, have you ever heard about insects carrying disease?
What? Well, you know what? Oh, yeah, actually I have, Jonas. Where are you going with this
one? You love my segues, you love them. You love every single one of them.
Have you ever cut yourself?
Have you ever self-harmed when you were sad?
Wow.
No. All right. That's not a laughing matter. That's very, if you have issues with depression or self-harm, please get help. Seriously. We don't condone that shit at the Crazy Town Podcast.
We're going to get a disclaimer at the beginning of the show.
There is a disclaimer on the website under about the show. So.
These views are the express views of.
It says something about how it is, you know, this is just a work of fiction, even though we discuss real events and stuff like that. So we just have a good time. We're just screwing around. We care about people and.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, dude, for sure. Like, I mean, we talk about some crazy shit, but that deep down, we're decent human beings. So anyways, this happened in Japan, Miyazaki, Japan. A few residents, well, I guess more than a few, because it was kind of like becoming more of an epidemic, had come down with thrombocytopenia syndrome.
Wow, thrombo means that it deals with the platelets?
Cyto, C-Y-T-O.
Cyto is cell.
P-E-N-I-A syndrome.
Penia means that they can't breathe, lack of oxygen.
So it's SFTS for short. Uh-huh. And they were getting this from tick bite.
Huh.
Yeah. The fatality rate on it is 12%, and it goes as high as 30% in some areas of, like, Japan and China. Little research, basically the main symptoms are fever, vomiting, diarrhea, you end up getting organ failure, and here you go, low platelet counts, low white blood cells, and high liver enzymes.
Okay.
Basically, what the Japanese government, or I'm not sure if it was the mayor or who exactly, the governor or something like that, he wanted to hold a press conference to bring awareness about these ticks and the disease and all this. So they brought some ticks with them so the press could photograph them and, you know, put out pictures of them and whatever. So they brought a dead one so they could take pictures and all that stuff. But they also brought a live beetle with them.
Oh, okay. All right. That doesn't sound... Was it, like, locked up in a cup?
Well, it was until they tried to move it with tweezers, and then they lost it at the press conference.
Good job, guys.
So it disappeared into the crowd. Essentially a disease-ridden fucking... They're calling awareness to people can get this disease, and yet they let one loose in the press conference, essentially. Like, have at it, boys! Go.
Good job.
Yeah, right? So they...
Good job.
But don't worry. Don't worry, everyone.
No, I'm not.
They didn't find it, but they did decide later to spray the room with insecticide, and they disinfected it, because you don't want anyone to get a cold.
What?
With a disease with as high as 30% fatality rate. You know.
Don't want anybody to get a cold. Right. So make sure you spray some palm olive.
Yeah, right.
Some pledge. No,
the cold part was my joke. That was...
Oh!
They didn't really say that. But the governor did come out and apologize to everything. You know, so that's okay. You know, we released it into the wild, but that's okay. We're good. He said... We should have been more careful about safety management, as the government is in a position to alert the people. So he's more or less like, it's cool, bro. We just let the tick out that's spreading disease, killing people. No worries. Sorry.
Hindsight is always 20/20.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I thought
we probably should have did better.
Yeah. Yeah. No shit. Oh, man. We totally should have not brought a live disease-ridden tick to a festival and let it go. So I thought that was very Crazy Town-esque. Because it was very, very like, dough. They're like, hey, Jimbo, why don't you go ahead and pull the tick out with a tweezer so the press can get a really good photo? Okay, yeah. So that sounds really good. Hey, boss, the tick's missing. What?
Is that how you think Japanese people talk?
If they're dumb enough to bring a tick out, they're basically living in the hills, man. They're just like...
Any of our viewers who talk like that, why don't you get a job handling needles?
Yeah, no shit, right?
No, but yeah, dude, that's fucked up, man. You think, like, in Japan, they, I don't know, aren't Japanese people, like, smarter than us?
I guess. That sounds awful stereotypical of you to say.
A good stereotype, though, you know? There's good ones.
yeah, there is, I guess. Yeah, there's good stereotypes. Yeah. I guess. So, but that's it. It's the only story I want to touch on here in the beginning of the show. I have a real wrencher. I guess not a wrencher. I guess it'd be more of like I don't know even how to describe it. The next one we're going to talk about in the next segment is going to be disgusting. Everyone's going to hate it, so I can't wait for that. Anyways, but before we jump out of this opening segment and get you over, TNT, do you want to do your word? It's time... To learn with TNT Dynamite.
Yeah, I do want to do my word.
I love doing words.
Today's word with dynamite. Intergluteal cleft.
All right. You want to spell that for the folks at home?
Sure. Intergluteal. Intergluteal. Cleft. Cleft.
And what is that?
This is also known commonly as your butt crack or your ass crack.
That's awesome.
Groove between the buttocks.
So that's the technical term for
ass
crack. Look at you. Look at you dropping some fucking knowledge on these hoes. By hoes, I mean me and you, because our listeners are not hoes. They're very awesome people.
You gave me that truel one at the beginning. I'm going to start using that.
Yeah. I'm going to just be like, hey, guys, you want to have a truel? You want to play crackers and play truel?
It sounds like something you'd see in a homosexual porn movie.
Hey, guys. You want to truel with each other?
Oh, Jesus. Pictures.
Dude, okay. In my mind. All right. I don't want to talk about gay porn, but
no?
do you think they have the same kind of scenes? Like the guys are all sitting around like in a dorm room and like the plumber comes to fix the toilet and like the same thing happens? He's all like, hey, guys, I'm here to clean your pipes. And they're like, ooh, we have some pipes that need cleaning. And like, do you think they do the same thing? Like, I can't imagine.
First off, this is exactly my brand of comedy. But yeah, I think that they do. I think they do. I think they have little storylines.
Well, you mentioned the homosexual, and it popped in my head. Like, do they have the same storyline? I mean, like, lesbian porn doesn't have that. It isn't like they go, like, you know what I mean? Like, ooh, I'm here to clean the trap. And like, ooh, we have a trap you could clean. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not the same sort of meal.
No, I could see some bros just hanging around watching football, and they order pizza, extra sausage.
Extra anchovies like that 80s movie Lover Boy. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, sorry, I'm a millennial.
Just because you're a millennial don't mean you can't watch old movies, you fuck.
No, dude, I've got to listen to Drake.
Do you seriously not know what that movie is?
I honestly do not remember
Dude, there was a movie, I think it was called Lover Boy, and this dude worked at a pizza shop, and there was a code, if they ordered anchovies, he was like a male escort, and he would show up at their house, and he knew they wanted to get it on. It was all these nasty rich bitches hey, you bought me on tap? Those kind of...
Was this like a kid-friendly movie?
No. My parents didn't care what I watched. I watched all sorts of fucked up shit.
So. Yeah, that explains a lot.
Oh, I know, right? Absolutely. But no, man, that's really about it for this segment. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with some more news articles to talk about before we get into part two of our interview. So we will be right back.
Hi there, this is Chuck Schlaudroff, host of the Hungry for Laughs podcast, and you're listening to the Crazy Town podcast.
Welcome back to the Crazy Town podcast. Jonas here with TNT Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned it a little bit here before we went to break. TNT, are you ready to hear a story that will just completely destroy your faith in humanity and make you fucking hate everything?
Let me brace myself. All right, I'm braced.
I hear you physically bracing yourself.
I did. All
right, so the story's a couple years old, so I don't know if it's still going on, but I imagine it is. I don't have any reason to believe it wouldn't be. There was an author writing a book about Disney World or Disneyland, whichever one's in Florida. I think it's World.
Mm-hmm.
They discovered a pretty shocking trend of something going on at Disney. It's basically something for the one percenters, if you will. You know, the elite, the richest of the rich,
What is it?
Douchebags. They're getting black market tour guides, in quotes, for Disney.
Wait a minute. Black market tour guides?
Yeah, yes. Don't make any guesses. I'll feed you along. So these black market tour guides, they cost $130 an hour or just over $1,000 for the entire day.
All right.
What do you think may constitute a black market tour guide for Disney?
You just told me not to guess.
Okay, well, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. The questions that you're not supposed to answer.
Rhetorical questions.
Yes, I don't know, Jonas.
What could a black market tour guide possibly show me at Disneyland?
These families are hiring disabled and handicapped people in wheelchairs and motorized scooters to pretend to be in their family to skip to the front of the line.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of this before.
You heard of this, really? So for the people who haven't, they have special entrances, auxiliary entrances, at the front of each attraction for people in wheelchairs and motorized scooters. I don't know this. I've never been to Disney World. And if you're handicapped, you can bring up to 6 people with you in that entrance.
Wow.
So the crazy thing about this is Disney also has VIP tours that they promote, and they have fast passes which get you to skip, which let you skip the line.
Not as quick as the handy lane.
Well, not only that, those passes and VIP trips run between $310 and $380 per hour.
Oh wow, really?
So you're hiring a disabled person to hang out with you all day for $1,000, or you can pay $380 an hour to fast pass.
Yeah, definitely a discount.
I mean, isn't that fucking terrible, dude?
It's awful, but like, who's worse here?
But do the handicapped people get the money?
I mean, I'm sure there's not like a human trafficking for handicapped people.
Dude, I haven't got that to that part yet. But
oh, there's more.
There's more. Like, so this service, it said, was so discreet. They don't have like a published phone number. These rich bitches pass it around, like the soccer moms pass it around within their communities. When you call the phone number, they ask you who referred you before they'll even discuss anything with you. So you have to know that Joan Smith has been a previous customer and she gave you the phone number. And that's why you're calling, and Joan Smith is your referral. Before they'll even tell you anything about anything about anything.
I don't know if it'd make it worse or if it'd make it better. Is that if, like, the guy, the head honcho, the CEO, was, like, some dude in a wheelchair.
Funny thing you mentioned that.
It's okay. Here we go.
So there was, like, they said they found a guy who, I didn't get his name because... Fuck it. I don't want to give the guy any publicity about this. This is disgusting. But they reach out to the guy who ran it. Obviously, he didn't respond. But but his girlfriend, I guess, is in a motorized scooter. She's not, like, mentally disabled. She's physically disabled in some way. Mm-hmm. And so they don't know, but they think she may be one of the guys who does it. Oh. So that's kind of probably where it started, is she was like, you know, I can get into all these rides. Why don't we hire me out as a guide for Disney and I'll pretend to be their aunt or their mom or their sister or whatever.
She gets to ride the rides for free and the rich people get this.
Right. So if they did that every day of the year, they would make $1,000 a day through the whole – that's $365,000 a year.
Oh my god, that's good money.
Yeah, no shit, right? But I mean, but they even tried to reach out to Disney about this, and Disney didn't respond either. Go figure. So let me ask you two questions.
Okay.
The first one is, do you think there's other places that do despicable things like this? And if so, where? I mean, obviously probably like Six Flags and Kennywood and Kings Island and all those, like, Cedar Point, they may do something similar, you know, but not, like, through the park, obviously, through, like, a black market, whatever. Do you think, I mean, can you think anywhere else that may have something like this?
Off the top of my head, no. You know, it's kind of funny, like the first thing that popped in my head was, like, you can rent like a black dude, take you through like a bad neighborhood or something. Then I don't know.
Look, do you feel unsafe going through the hood? Where's this guy? He'll take you in. He'll introduce you to everybody.
I think I would probably do that.
T-Bone, the crack dealer, to fucking like escort you through the hood and introduce. This is where I shot the man who didn't pay me for his 8-Rock. This is where my hoes stand. They got the best DJs in town.
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I don't really find it. It's hard, man. Because, yeah, is it unfair? Absolutely. Is it unfair for Disney to sell their premium tickets at such a high rate? Absolutely. Is it unfair that only certain people get to take part in it? Absolutely. But it's unfair? Is it illegal? No.
No, it's despicable.
And if the handicapped people, she's running a legitimate business where these people are taking home a decent check. That's true.
I mean, we talked about the woman selling positive pregnancy tests on Craigslist back in episode 6. Great episode. Go back and check out episode 6. And you commended her on being an entrepreneur and being her own salesman. So how is that different than this woman slanging handicapped people to fucking pretend to be your brother?
Slinging Andy. I don't, you know, look, I honestly don't know. My stomach's not churned.
Right, I'm more conflicted. Absolutely. Now, here's my second part to this. Do you think Disney's in on this secretly?
I think they're secretly letting it happen.
Right. I mean, like, you have
this is
to
not
think,
a Duke development.
Like, okay. Like, I understand that, like, people bring people handicapped to the park all the time. You know what I mean? They get them out that, I mean, to enjoy stuff. You know, I get it. But do you think that every single one of them has six friends? Do you think that their friends and, like, that their friends and family don't take advantage of this? You know, like, hey, we're taking Susie to the park. Hey, get your cousins. We're all going to go and ride with Susie, and we get to go in first because Susie has her mechanical chair or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, people do that, like, innocently all the time.
And you're not going to be the guy to fucking call them out. Like, let me see a blood test right now.
Like, some rent-a-cop's like, excuse me, bitch, pop them tits out. I got to see if you're related.
Okay. I didn't realize you could determine relation through a breast examination.
It's an old joke I heard a long time ago about someone trying to tell if a mom and daughter were related.
Oh, my God.
Pop your tits out. I'll go double or nothing on those jokers.
I don't know where he gets it from, people. I don't know. But all right. Yes.
Anyways. All right. From total despicableness to something that's actually pretty sweet.
Your comments were the most despicable part of
it. Oh, my God. I was speaking as if I were the crony security guard. Not that I would really make them pop their tits out.
Basically just ordered a handicapped girl to take off her shirt. Oh. You're a terrible person, Jonas.
You said it would be a shame if the security guard called them out, and I was speaking as a character if I was the handicapped girl getting confronted by a...
You were right. My stomach is churned now. Thank you.
So, all right. All right, I'm a piece of shit. Da-da-da-da-da. Ha-ha-ha. Anyways, let me tell you a story, TNT, about a small town in California.
All right.
Name of this town is, it's a very small town. It has a population of 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it sits on the California-Nevada border. Small. And what's so special about this town? It's called Nipton, by the way. Nipton. This isn't why it's special, but a side note, it was included in the game Fallout New Vegas. It was, like, recreated for that game.
Yeah, I knew I recognized that name.
Yeah, so anyways, but it was just sold for $5 million.
A town of 20 people.
Right. It has 120 acres. It includes a school building, a hotel, mineral baths, and a general store.
Mm-hmm.
So who bought this tiny town, do you think? Who do you think would buy a town like that?
I don't know, somebody with fucking $5 million.
It's a company called American Green.
They're growing reefers?
It is absolutely a weed manufacturing company. And they plan to turn it into like a marijuana tourist destination.
Oh, really?
Like Weed Town, USA.
Good for them, man.
Right. They plan to invest $2.5 million more dollars into the city to make it more tourist-friendly and eco-friendly. They're going to make it run on all renewable energy sources to power the town.
Yeah.
And they're going to, I imagine, have grow shop. Like, I imagine they're probably going to grow stuff there, probably have, like, you know, just, like, food places that, you know, I mean, they're going to build it up into, like, a marijuana tourist destination.
I like that idea.
I think that's actually really fucking cool. You know, it's almost like it'd be like a brewery tour, you know, for beer, but it, you know, I'm sure they'll show you the grocery. They can do like pot tours and, you know, all that stuff.
Pot tours. Are they going to have a mascot?
Yeah, it's just a giant fucking guy in a
bong.
It's just a bong
suit. I don't know.
It's like Towley, but it's a bong suit. It's like, don't forget to bring your lighter.
I'm Bing Bong the Bong.
Yeah.
The water pipe.
Bill Bong the Bong. That's going to be the town slogan. Don't forget your lighter.
That's a good idea.
So, but I thought that was a super cool idea. Like, yeah. I'm totally pro marijuana. I think it should be legalized across the whole country, I personally partake or not, even, I just think it has so many positive things, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We're gonna have to take one of our podcast paychecks and invest in that.
Oh, that would be great. Or we could do a podcast on location from Nipton.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
I'm gonna start a Kickstarter right now.
Maybe yeah, there you go. I'll look into that. I'll try to reach out to the company and see what their plans are. Maybe I can try to set something up where we go to like a bar or restaurant there and on a trip and do a live podcast from the restaurant or something. That'd be pretty sweet. So, but anyways, I wanted to follow up like the most despicable story that we've probably ever done on the podcast. Wait, hold on. There's a lot of stuff we've talked about. Can you think of anything more despicable than the handicaps? People being like,
do not put a comma there. Don't put the comma there.
It's all about where you pause. God, oh my God.
Punctuation. Jesus Christ, if anybody is listening, believe me, I've worked with handicapped people for the majority of my life, and I have nothing but the utmost respect, and Jonas shared.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God, I paused at the worst possible. Oh my God.
No, Jonas, I can't think of anything worse than the exploitation of handicapped individuals. That would be awful.
I can't even catch my breath. I'm crying. Oh, God. They talk about this. It's like they talk about the thing where, like, you go, if you say, let's eat kids, or you say, let's eat kids. It's totally.
The comma. The comma fucking matters.
All right. Now that I've, need to catch my breath on that one. All right. So coming up next is the second part of the interview that we had with the Sex Work BB podcast hosts and webcam models. So we hope you guys enjoy that, and we will be right back.
The Crazy Town Podcast.
Hey everyone, it's Eric from Cross River University. You're listening to the Crazy Town Podcast on Ace Podcast Network.
We are back on the Crazy Town Podcast with the hosts of the Sex Work BB Podcast, Kyra Kane and Shay Taylor. Welcome back, guys.
Hey!
Thank you! Thank you so much!
All right. So, I want to ask you guys, being a sex worker or a cam model, obviously you guys do this from a studio or your home or wherever, but, you know, there is the danger of, you know, stalkers and, you know, that kind of stuff because of what you do. People get crazy about people who get naked. It's just what happens. So, I mean, have you had any situations that made you feel really unsafe, or have you had a real stalker or anything like that that's been a real negative experience with this?
I think, and she might be the same thing. My biggest issue is, like, and I'm super upfront with people, very upfront. Like, I had somebody message me the other day, and they're like, I'd really like to get to know you. And I was like, well, cards on the table, we'll never meet. I'm cool with getting to know you. I have friends that I've known for years, and the only way we'd meet is if you stopped by at a sex convention and wanted to take a picture, do like a small meet and greet, and then you go on your way and I go on my way. And he's like, that's really closed-minded of you. And I'm like, this is my job, friend. Like, this is what I do. And that's probably, and the biggest issue is like talking to somebody a lot, and then they grow feelings and get really attached and aren't okay with the fact that it's only going to be virtual. And that's, right. And so they're like, for me, I have a P.O. box that is not where I live.
Right.
So I like drive to a P.O. box. I think Shay, I don't know.
Well, you don't notice on the podcast, you don't even say what state you're in. You just say Midwest. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah. So I mean, that's even more vague than, than a whole state.
Because what's the Midwest, right?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of different states in the Midwest.
And people like to guess, because people say I have like an accent. A lot of people guess that I'm from like Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I won't say.
Yeah, that's fine. I totally get it. It only makes you safer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, one day it's going to be. Well,
and, like, Kyra and I are, like, I mean, we're best friends. You know, we talk every day, and we just learned each other's real names, like, not that long ago.
And it was kind of an accident that we...
Yeah.
That you accidentally stumbled upon each other. Right. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, though.
I haven't had a stalker. I had a guy when I very, very first started camming that was really, really pushy and like would not take no for an answer and was really kind of creepy. I was like, he could be dangerous. And I ended up like stopping camming and changing my cam name. Mm-hmm. And so I lost him, luckily. I think I more deal with, I do a lot of like girlfriend experience. And okay. So I end up with a lot of guys who get really, really attached.
I was going to say that sounds like that would be dangerous because it almost promotes those sort of feelings to those guys, even though
that's
it's
what
fake.
They want you to do. They want you to promote those feelings.
Well, right. I get that part. Yeah. So I would think they would fall easier for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they do, you know, like I mean, there's been a guy that's, he was the one that supported our podcast. He was like, I finally had this realization that like, we won't ever be together. And I was like, I don't even know what you look like, dude. You know, like, what are you talking about? And so, like it's mostly that where they're just like, and they don't get it, you know? And when you tell them like genuinely, like we're friends, like I care about you, you know, like I want well for you, but I don't want to marry you, you know? And being that I'm single, I think that it probably promotes that even more because, you know, sometimes I'm like, if I was married, they would get it, you know, or at least hopefully get it. But being that I'm single, it's like, But then on the other side, if you tell people that you're married or you have somebody, you're not going to get those clients because they're looking for a girl who I potentially.
But you'll get other clients that like the cuck stuff and they like thinking that like they're the other guy in your relationship and your marriage.
Favorite word.
Well,
yeah.
Say that
all.
Do we date? It's difficult. It's difficult. I live in a small town, and at what point do you tell your date you're a cam model?
Right.
I tell them up front.
Well, okay, I figure that's the best way to do it, probably.
Okay, but then if you don't work out, then what? Dude knows you're a cam model, and he's going to tell who? You know, like
hopefully
you live in a small town.
A client.
Right. He's like, oh man. He's like, I'll just have to pay now.
he's like, I never got it in. I never got it in, but I'm going to get it. Yeah.
Right.
Do you tell him your real name when you date him?
Yeah, I don't know any of these people from online, and I don't date a ton of people. I have, like, one or two people that I date, like, exclusively, and I let them know that my job is kind of my boyfriend, too. Like, I work a lot. These guys are kind of, like, a part of my life.
Right.
What I do, and now the podcast is a whole other branch of my boyfriendness, and that takes a lot of time. Yeah. So.
Does this industry working like this and dealing with like people, you know, because you deal with a lot of people who have true feelings for you, even though you don't reciprocate, does it make having an intimate relationship with someone hard outside of camming?
Sometimes. I mean, I've had it where, like I said, you kind of become desensitized to it a bit. You know, it's kind of a whole nother experience having somebody actually here for you. But I deal with a lot of like insecurities that like they're worried about my job.
Right. That makes sense.
Like where I put that onto them and it's just my own fears that like they hate what I do, even though they're like, no, I'm fine with it, you know, but you're like, how do you not have an issue with it? Like I get naked for like thousands of men, you know, like that's your girl, but
I like am so, I have an issue with jealousy. Like I'm not a jealous person.
Yeah. Me neither at all.
Like,
and
I'm decently flirtatious in general. Like I could be at McDonald's ordering my burger and I'm still going to be extremely friendly and I'll joke around with them and like that's just who I am, and so I think it'd be really hypocritical of me like if I was dating somebody and like they're flirtatious and I'm like, well, fuck this shit, like it just, so for me if somebody is jealous of like me doing my job, it's just not gonna work.
But, you know, you would think for a guy to be comfortable with dating someone who's in the sex work industry, they would have to either you would think they either have like an ill intention of some sort or like they have to be pretty open and decent, you know, like progressive minded people because they know you're doing this. You know what I mean? They have to be okay with, well, we're going to hang out this afternoon. Then after that, she's going to go home and get online. There's going to be 1,000 guys throwing money at her to do whatever.
Well, I bet he didn't even leave while she camped. He took a nap while she camped. He's watching TV in the living room while she camped.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so I mean, it's just a whole different, I mean, but I mean, like that experience doesn't fit a lot of guys. You know, a lot of guys would not be able to do that or would not be able to have jealousy or be mad about it or whatever. But like you said, that's your income, man. Like, who are you going to choose? Your job, which you make tons of money, or some dude? You know what I mean? Like, obviously.
Right. Right. And I feel like I've become a whole lot more open-minded. And so, like, I don't, somebody who's not going to be open-minded about it is not really somebody that I want to be with anyways. So.
That makes sense. Absolutely. Absolutely. So has this job helped you grow as a person at all? And if so, in what way?
Yeah, it's challenged my thinking a lot. I was very religious. I worked for a church, very close-minded. And so it's challenged me. And this podcast has, I mean, my friendship with Kyra, like she said, we don't agree on everything. And mm-hmm. we challenge each other, like, well, what the heck? Why, like, that's, this is how I feel about it. And it's like, oh, like you're right, you know? And so it has, it's helped me with, I'm super shy, super shy. I don't like people. I don't like talking to people. And so it's
the
helped.
Crux of what you do, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So it's helped me in person to do it because it's fine. Like I feel like I have like the computer to hide behind.
That makes sense.
Most cam girls are very anxious, antisocial people, believe it or not.
Well, that makes sense because you have almost, it's like the video camera or the cam is almost like a wall. You know what I mean? Like it's your own wall to, like they're out there. They're not here. But
they're
then if you go out in public,
the
you're like, oh my God, mm-hmm. like there's so many people. What's going on? I'm anxious. Yeah, whatever.
I guess I can see that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. What about you, Kyra?
I feel like I've grown a lot and it's more, when I got out of my marriage, it was decently abusive. Physically and mentally. And so like I came out of it and I had PTSD pretty bad. So like relationships were really hard for me. Just having friends was really hard for me because I wasn't allowed to have friends when I was married. I wasn't allowed to have things of my own. I wasn't myself anymore. And so, when I got out of it, I started serving and I like joked around with people and I got to know people and people really affirmed that I was a good person and they affirmed that I was funny and, or I was pretty and all this stuff. And it kind of, then I started to cam and like, it was even more affirmation. Like people like me for my personality mm-hmm. more so than my look sometimes. And that like, it made me confident with who I am and it helped my anxiety that I'm my own person now. Like I feel like myself for the first time in 7 years. And I feel mm-hmm. like nobody can control that and nobody can make me be somebody I'm not. And then like, I meet Shay, and honestly, like, doing this podcast and getting to know Shay, like, it helps having somebody there that completely understands what you're going through
mm-hmm.
on good days and on bad days. And not even just through, like, camming, like, in real life stuff, like, I can shoot the shit with her about my kids, you know what I mean? Because I trust her. And that's some, because this, we say it on the podcast, that this job can be very lonely.
I was going to say lonely. Yeah, that was the word I was going to use.
And it's like as much as you have a bunch of people watching you, talking to you, I can see how it would be lonely. Because on the other end of the camera, you're by yourself. You know what I mean? And like you said, it's competitive. Girls are catty. They're ruthless. They're backstabbing. You know what I mean? Like they all want to get up, be the next top model, you know, that, you know, so to speak. You know, so I could see that happening. Absolutely.
Well, and it's unfortunate because like, and we say this on the podcast too, if we work together, like, because I know, like, a handful of top models that they're like, be a top model. Come after me. Like, come get me. And they're not being mean about it. They're like, they want you to be successful. They want you to mm-hmm. bust your ass so hard that you try to catch them. And then there are other models that are kind of like bitches, and they're really rude. And, like, I think one reason that we're doing this podcast is because we don't want, like, those girls suck. You don't mm-hmm. need to be friends with those girls. And, like, even though you're lonely, there's 100 other girls that aren't like that. And that when you say, I want to film 3 videos tomorrow, that they're going to message you and be like, what's going on with those videos?
Mm-hmm.
How many videos did you do? Like, they're pushing you to kind of be the best version.
I think when you start in this industry, you almost are, like, you're looking for a mentor.
Right.
You're looking for, because there's no, like, how-to guide on mm-hmm. how to be a cam girl.
Some YouTube videos, blogs.
Miss Lollipop, she does a great blog. What is her? Why am I? Cam Model Express. I know she has a bunch of
stuff
out.
Like a profile builder and a little help tips.
Cam Girl Cuties is out there, but it's for the most part, like,
forum.
Yeah. You can't, like, you just don't know where to start. And so I remember looking at some of the top models and being in awe of them, and then meeting them at the convention and finding out that they were like the most shallow, bitchiest, awful people in the entire earth. And you hear that from a lot of girls where they like have this like aha moment of like this girl that they like idolized in the industry. And then she ends up being this terrible person that really wants them to like quit. You become really deflated. And so for us to like kind of be those mentors to girls and be true and be honest and be real that we're like really here to help. Like if you need something, shout out, like call her at Sex Work BB. We're going to do our best to try to help you. You know, we may not have all the answers, but,
we'll find somebody who does have the answers.
Yeah. And be that mentor for people, because it's so lonely when you first start. You just don't even know.
Going off what you said there, you know, you said that, you know, these cam models look up to these high level girls, and then they meet them or get to know them a little better and realize they're awful people. That kind of goes across all industries though, because, you know, even like, kids who look up to baseball players or whatever, and I want to do this, and then they meet them and they're an asshole. They're like, oh my, it like shatters your world because you hold them at such a high level, and then you're like, oh my god, they're awful people. Like, this sucks. Is everyone in this industry an awful person? You know what I mean? So I get that. That makes a lot of sense.
I remember when I saw the top model that I like was like, she is amazing. Like, she's a businesswoman. She's doing the smart. She's putting money away. She's investing in buying houses and all this stuff. Like, this is who I want to be like. And then on Twitter, she was like bullying people. And I was like, I don't want to be like her at all.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, I felt totally deflated that like this person that I thought was wonderful was not at all. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. You spoke on there's no real how to guide to become a cam model. I feel the same is very true in podcasting. There's a lot of like how to start a podcast, how to get your stuff up, get it on Twitter, iTunes, blah, blah, blah. But one thing I love about podcasting the most is it is a open canvas. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You want to have a sex work podcast? You want to have a podcast about like ours where we talk about weird shit all the time. It's just finding your niche, you know, but I feel a lot of people just copy each other. You know, there's a million movie podcasts and music podcasts and whatever. So it's finding your place in the industry to make it successful. You know, I think you guys have a great spot because how many sex work by sex workers podcasts, you know what I mean? It's great. You know?
Yeah. We are it. That we know of, that we're aware of. So.
So, I mean, that's really awesome. And like us, I mean, we just talk about weird shit. So there ain't, no, most people.
That's why you invited us on. All right. I see.
Weird shit.
You know, but you know, I wanted to start something that like, the part of the world that, you know, weird, unique jobs, weird, unique lifestyle, you know, anything that's different can get a voice. You know, it's not like, not because you're an actress in Hollywood or whatever, you know? So, I mean, I just wanted to be able to.
This is a topic that especially resonates with me, too.
This boy is all about porn. No.
Look, it's all, I just want to make sure that people know that you are human beings and that, you know, we need to normalize that this is a part of our culture and it needs to be normalized a little bit. So, you know, you're people. You lead normal lives. You go to school, you raise your children, you go to PTA meetings. People need to know that shit.
Yeah. Right. You're not like some weird person because you do sex work for a living. You know what I mean? You're a normal person just like us. Instead of going to a 9-to-5, you pick your hour. You're an entrepreneur.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a lot of, I mean, we talk about it a lot on the podcast. Like there's a stigma that like we're all broken, that we're all here because we're forced to be, or we have to be, or, you know, we have daddy issues and that's why we, you know, are like looking up to be accepted by others. And it's totally, I mean, we have our issues. I mean,
I say we both have daddy issues, but that's not why
I'm a sex worker.
Right. I imagine your clients come and go, you know, you said, like, if you take a couple weeks off, they'll just migrate or whatever. I imagine you have consistency with a few people, you know, somebody, you know, now if you're running, like if, you know, say you have a few guys that are constantly working with whatever and something happens, they fall offline, you don't hear from them. I mean, do you actively search new guys or do you let them come to you or how do you find new clients? I mean, do you
cry first usually?
Oh, don't cry on cam.
You cry.
No, like you have somebody that like, you meet them. And then they come into your life and they drop like $3,000. They buy you a ton of gifts and then they're gone. Like, 2 weeks later, they're gone. And, like,
I think a lot of girls count on that, too. Like, I have somebody who helps me probably 80% of my weekly income. But I am totally prepared that at any point, he might disappear. You know, and I have a backup plan. Like, then have to cam more, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But girls put all their eggs in one basket and they're like, oh, I have this dude that gives me $1,000 a week to do this, this, and this, and this. They're like, oh, I'll just keep counting on that as my mm-hmm. income. And then he disappears and what do you do? They don't know what to do to recover that $1,000 a week.
Well, right. I went to business school. So, I mean, they teach you. You can't put all your eggs in one basket because if more than 50% of your revenue is coming from one source, one day that source may not be there anymore. And then what are you going to do? You know, so mm-hmm. it's great. I mean, but when you realize that your consistency is going down, I guess, from certain people, do you try to find new people to be consistent with, or do you just let it be natural? They want to keep coming back or whatever.
I'm not sure how we'd find, you can't really.
Find people.
Clients. Yeah. And if you're finding somebody, that means you're probably scalping them from somebody else. Like, you found their information because they're, like, dogging on another girl. Like, they're, like, all about this other girl. And, like, mm-hmm. so you, like, message
usually,
him.
If you want to find new people, you just need to work 10 times harder than you were.
Gotcha.
Like, if I needed to get some new regular customers, I would
be more available.
Yeah, I would be on Snapchat more, doing more takeovers. I would be mm-hmm. on
social media.
Yeah, I would, you know, for a while there was like 2 months where I would put out 10 new videos a week.
And I was doing like 14 at the time.
Yeah, so just to like try to gain some new video sales and things like that. And then you keep doing that and eventually you start gaining regulars.
Right.
Through customer service, you know, we message everybody that buys a video from us. I've been really sucky about it because summers suck, but you know, just good mm-hmm. customer service to those people and they keep coming back. And eventually you hope one of them's a whale and that,
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Snapchat takeovers. For the people out there who don't know what that is, can you give a quick breakdown of what that means so they understand what you're talking about?
Man, I wish this one cam model we knew was here because she's got a real, like, down pat way to explain it.
We have, like, an hour-long interview on Snapchat takeovers.
Okay. So basically, do you work someone else's Snapchat account or a site Snapchat account? And
a promoter's account.
Yep.
For 24 hours.
Okay, and then you just post yourself and talk and pimp your sites and your all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people will play, right, they'll play games, so they'll be like, go to this site and buy a balloon, and then inside the balloon will be like, you win 5 videos, you win their Snapchat for 4 months, this and this and this.
Okay.
So.
Alright, so that's like the very bare bones explanation
mm-hmm.
of what it is.
Yeah,
so.
It's like a cam room on Snapchat almost.
Okay.
Like they'll pay you to like do spank, they'll pay you to take shots, to smoke, they'll pay, you know, I mean it varies.
Off topic question, Shay, you said you're a gamer, what is your favorite game to play right now?
I do a lot of role playing. So I do Grand Theft Auto role playing and Ark role playing are my two big ones right now.
Just curious. Yeah, Kyra, do you play games at all, even offline when you're not camming?
She has one where with Overwatch, where her and another girl control their.
Yeah, that's mine. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, we played Overwatch and controlled each other's vibrators. There's an app on your phone that you can control a vibrator that somebody else has remotely.
Oh, that's awesome.
yeah, and so we did that with each other. Yeah,
that's
Overwatch.
Fun.
I've played World of Warcraft for like 12 years, so I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of
see,
nerd.
I like comic books a lot. I like music a lot. I like to read.
Those are the things that I do.
Me? I listen to a little bit of everything. Like, I like a lot of, oh my gosh, it's really
right,
good.
I
don't like country, and I don't like R&B. Because when I hear country, I'm sad, and when I hear R&B, it reminds me of, like, some 90s movies where they're, like, getting down. And
you
know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
like the Boys in the Hood sex scene when
exactly,
they play, like, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I got you. So we did this question on our Get to Know the Host episode. Top 3 CDs that you can listen to from front to back without stopping of all time.
Oh my gosh. I'm not a huge I listen to music, but I don't ever feel that passionate about any music. It's really weird.
If we hop into your Prius and we turn the key, turn up the radio, what are we going to hear, Shay?
probably something that my children have put on. It's really sad. So
like the Wiggles, Raffy?
No. Wiggles. No, they're teenagers. So, you know, the top 40 is
Lil
big.
Uzi Vert.
Yeah, I have to really, like, check myself. Sometimes my son will put on music, and I'm like, you can't twerk to that in front of him. Because it's like this instant reaction. Some songs, you know, they just, you have to twerk to them. Or I have twerked to them, and they made me good money.
Right.
That's what you have to think about constantly. That's what you think about when you hear it.
Right. Kyra, what about you? What do you listen to? What are your CDs? You got a top three? A favorite song?
I have a thumbprint. So, like, I really like this band called Bourne's. They sing the song Electric Love, which I'm sure you guys have heard. It was on, like the pop stations and stuff. I like a band called Steely Dan.
Oh, Steely Dan. Wow, old school.
Yeah. And then it's hard for me to pick just a couple. I like Morphine a lot.
Morphine. What is your, like, favorite CD of all time? Like, your whole, the drug Morphine. Like, if you had to pick a CD, do you have any favorite CD, like, of a whole CD that you used to listen to?
That I could just listen to the whole time?
Yep.
Yes, Roundabout.
Roundabout. Is that the band or is that the CD?
Yes is the band. Roundabout is the CD.
Oh, yes. Like, the 70s rock band, Yes?
Yeah.
Look at you. Like, yeah, going old school. Yeah, I remember, like, Yes, Fragile, I think, is one of their CDs they have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. TNT's like, I got
no idea. I like
no
Pink
idea.
Floyd.
See, like, 80s rock, 80s, 70s rock stuff.
I old also school. Like 90s. Like, I like Alice in Chains a lot. I like...
Three-Legged Dog.
Yeah, the Three-Legged Dog.
I like Sublime.
Yeah, okay. Sublime's good.
Cottonmouth Kings, like...
Oh, you have very boy. Wide musical taste.
I love music.
ICP, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm very widespread too. My mom used to work at a music store when I was a kid, so I've heard, I go from, you know, rap, R&B to rock to whatever I like. You know, if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. Another random question. I don't know if you listen to or get to know the host show, but, or wait, maybe this wasn't even on there. If you guys could put two animals together and make a new animal with logistics not being a problem, like, what animal would you make?
Yeah, I'll these are the hard-hitting questions.
We'll tell you ours first.
Serious shit right here.
We'll tell you ours first, so that way you guys have time to think. TNT, why don't you tell them the super imaginative one you came up with?
Are you talking about my dragon?
He goes, I'll create a dragon. I'm like, that's a...
Is there mythical creatures?
No.
Are we allowed
I was confused. I wanted to put a lizard and the dragon, the dog dragon from the Neverending Story.
I did that. My first one was a horse and a cheetah. Could have some crazy horse cheetah monster. What we call it, a cheetah or a chorse? And then a mosquito and an alligator. So you could have like a mosquito with like an alligator head and the mosquito like blood sucker.
Awful. Like, are we supposed to pick, like, what we want? Is it supposed to have a good resolution, or is it supposed to be something awful? Like,
anything you want. Anything you want. Just mix something together. Something you think would be cool to see.
To your twisted imagination.
I, for some, have always been really obsessed with monkeys. I don't know why. And kangaroos. So I don't know how the logistics of that all would work together.
That is fucking metal.
Like, but what kind of monkey? Like a chimpanzee, or like a baboon, or like a gorilla?
Small monkey.
So like a spider monkey and a kangaroo?
Yeah, like the ones that you see at the zoo and they're like flipping around from tree to tree, you know? I don't know how that...
kangaroo legs?
Yeah.
When I pressured TNT, he came up with a really good one. He said he wanted to mix gorillas and monarch butterflies, so you'd have gorillas with monarch butterfly wings flying around.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be cool. I'd like that one.
Interesting.
Yeah. See, the only thing I keep saying in my head is a rhino. And an otter. That's it. And I'm like,
a rotter.
It's okay. I really like rhinos. They're like the firefighters of the jungle. Like if they see a fire, they'll run and stomp it out. And I like otters because they're
So do you want a rhino?
I want elephants, but rhino and elephants are too close. I don't know.
Otter tail.
Yeah, would it be a rhino with an otter tail or like a otter body with a rhino head and a tail? Like, how would you do it?
Because I like the noises otters make. So it's really hard for me. So like can they have rhino, okay, so it's a rhino head and okay. an otter body with okay. the otter voice box.
Oh, there we go.
What about proportions? What are we talking, rhino how proportions? Or are we talking otter proportions?
The otter is the size of the rhino. It's a huge ass otter.
Oh my god.
A big, so it's like a bear.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a bear.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Oh my god. All right, one more.
Damn it can make.
One more random question. If you could take any animal and shrink it down to the size of a cat as a pet, what animal would it be?
An elephant.
An elephant. I actually picked rhino was mine. Like a little yeah. rhino running around the house. Like,
that's cute.
That would be awesome.
Danger.
As hell.
Danger.
I picked a deer because I would like to have like a little mini deer.
Audrey Hepburn, the actress, actually owned a deer as a pet.
Yeah.
I saw one on a camping trip. It jumped out of somebody's motorhome. It was their pet.
It was their motorhome. The deer were staying there. They were also right. camping.
Like,
start a fire!
I had a friend in Ohio. Her dad raised and breeded reindeer and sold them. He had a whole farm. Like, he had, like, 30 reindeer on
that
his property.
That's like a real Ohio thing to do.
Hey, don't judge Midwest happenings, okay? Come on.
I know. I'm like, seriously.
Anybody I know...
Like, France are coming to life.
Anybody I've ever met that lives in Ohio has told me how awful of a place it is.
See, I loved like, Ohio. I mean, I live in Texas now, but I loved Ohio. There wasn't a lot to do, but it was a pretty good place for me. I lived up near Cleveland, though, so... That's okay. where we grew up.
A lot
so.
More to do.
Yeah, we weren't not so rural. Yeah.
No.
Really.
No.
What?
There wasn't a lot to do in Cleveland.
What? No, there's not. There's more now. But what about you, Shay? What animal would you shrink down for a pet?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I've just always. I'm literally so obsessed with monkeys. It would be a gorilla. It would have okay. to be a mini gorilla. I really want a dragon, but I feel like that's not an animal.
I know.
Octopus.
I don't know if you guys watch Game of Thrones, but, like, I'm so obsessed with Khaleesi and her
no
dragon.
No spoilers.
I know. I haven't seen the last two episodes, so shush.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I
don't
really,
watch it either.
I want to be Khaleesi.
I think since everybody else watches yep. it, I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah, me too. I kind of like, eh, whatever. Yeah.
Yep. It's... Yep.
So you want a gorilla dragon?
Gorilla dragon, yeah. There we go.
A gorilla with dragon wings?
A dragon?
Well, honestly, if you think of a gorilla dragon, and so it's a gorilla with dragon wings, is actually the adult version of TNT's gorilla with monarch butterfly
oh,
wings. When it's
yeah.
four, it's a gorilla with monarch yeah. butterfly wings, and then as it gets older, it grows dragon wings.
And then yeah, it breathes like fire and shit, too. Oh, my God, that's amazing.
That's great.
Yep. Yep. I like where you guys take that.
Oh,
you guys believe in ghosts? Have you had any paranormal activity happen?
I am literally the biggest scaredy cat in the whole entire world.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't given a lot
I'm afraid of the dark. I'm legit so
Can
afraid
I be honest? If I'm in the dark and I'm like, feel scared, and this is going to like, what a loser. Since I was younger, I literally sing a song, and all this song is I go, Jesus, 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 as I'm running in the dark. Until I get to the light.
So you yell Jesus until you get to the light?
Yeah.
That's kind of like is that a metaphor for, like, life? Like, the life cycle? You're coming from the dark to the light, saving it, and Jesus is...
Maybe.
whatever
I'm doing it like, if I say it, I'm like, I...
And this is the girl that always tells me I'm not religious.
I'm not religious. I don't have a religion, but I do believe in God. I'm spiritual, and I think what I believe is totally different than what everybody else believes, but your walk is your walk, and mine is mine. You do
That's
you.
Right.
But right. you know what? That song has kept you safe forever.
I know. I never got eaten by a monster.
You never had, like, a painting fall off the wall, or doors that flush in toilets, doors that close or open?
Did you say a door that flushed the toilet?
Yeah,
that would really freak me the fuck out.
Yes. Then I would believe in ghosts. I
oh,
had
wow. Sure. What about aliens? Either you've been abducted?
I haven't been abducted, but I do think aliens are real.
Okay. Man,
has anyone ever told you ghost stories that you know, like friends, family, anything told you a ghost story about they lived in a house that had like weird shit going on or?
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither.
I really thought this would be a bigger segment.
I'm more agnostic about it. Like, if I had solid proof, I would believe, but I don't not believe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's me. I'm very, like, if I have to, like, have some sort of, like, tangible evidence or, like, I have to have something to be able to, like, grasp my hands on to, like...
Yeah. I'm not a big speculator about anything. I'm more of, like, a fact kind of person. Like, you show me a fact, I'll believe it, but I'm not going to believe, like, what a myth, you know, so to speak, so...
And I have, like, recollection of, like, night paralysis mixed with, like, bad dreams and shit like that, but I can't really think anything. I did a lot of drugs during my younger years, so that might have something to do with it. I'll have to search my memory bank to see if I have something.
Yeah, something going on.
Kyra does have alien porn.
I do.
How's that work, exactly?
Yeah,
I was the alien. I got, like, sclera contacts, so my eyes were all black, and I was an alien queen, and then, like, I made him fuck me. I abducted the human, and I needed his seed so I could produce a large brood of new aliens. So,
was this a request or something you thought of?
It was a custom.
Oh, that's awesome. Man,
it was a lot of fun, and I take my shit really serious. So, like, I bought my...
I know about the whole process as she's, like, preparing for it. I get a play-by-play.
Yeah. Yep.
You have to do any adjustments to the Orify in order to...
My Orify?
Yeah, for the any makeup or costume.
No, I didn't
Orify.
Do anything like that. But the way I filmed it was I got, like, this silver backdrop, and then I put a purple light in, so my skin automatically looked a different color.
Okay. That's so creative. Look at you. Like, you should get into, like, set production and shit, you know, just trying to...
Like I said, I wouldn't hate being a producer.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, you should get in a job where you just help girls make custom videos. And you can, like, set up the sets and all that shit whenever you get tired of making them yourself. Then they can pay you to do their set design. That'd be a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, you're like, I'm down. So, but you guys always ask everyone what the highlight of their... you know, career is. So I was wondering what the highlight of your, if you have a low light you want to throw in there too, we can get the both ends of the spectrum.
I wouldn't say it was like a highlight, but I mean, I remember going to AVN last year, the adult video network awards. We didn't actually go to the awards, but there's a conference that's like the whole week. And I remember landing in Vegas and just being like, I'm a sex worker. I can be a sex worker. I'm Shay. I can tell everybody I'm a sex worker. And everybody was really, really accepting. I met some really, really awesome girls. The whole experience was really like freeing, if that makes sense. And so it really, like, I'm really looking forward to going again this year. Kyra's going to be with me again this year, and we're going for the podcast. We're not going for ourselves. We're going for the podcast this year, so that should be fun. But just be that, like, free feeling of being able to I mean, you're surrounded by 10,000 sex workers, and everybody's just so open and honest about it, and everybody's, like, half naked and filming porn and, you know, masturbating in weird places, and, yeah, you need to be at AVN.
Well, I imagine it felt great because, like you said, you're so reserved and hidden most of the time. It was, like, the one time it just didn't matter. You could just, it is what it is. I'm open and free as I want to be, and everyone else is, like, awesome, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and everybody was like, whatever, I am too, you know? So I remember the taxi driver was like, or our Uber or whatever, was like, yeah, like, what is it all about? Tell me. And, you know, you still want to kind of be cautious because you're like, okay, like, I can't tell these people too much information, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're like, just totally open about being a sex worker and proud of it, you know? It was a cool feeling.
That's sweet. What about you, Kyra?
Meeting me.
Yeah, that was nice, but I've known her for a long time, so I'm over it. It's hard because, like, I want to say, like, the highlight was something monetary, but, like, I've had so many good things happen to me. I feel like I've met a lot of really great people, and, like, I'm getting ready to go to my first convention in November. And so I'm super stoked about going to this convention. I've never been on a plane before. I've only left my state once. And so, like, I'm pretty nervous, but I think that that's going to be a huge experience for me. I'll get to meet Shay in person, and we'll get to kind of have a good time, I assume.
The process of getting her on the plane so far has been interesting, and she's not even there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many months away is this?
It's early November.
Oh, so just so here, yeah, so not too long. Oh, man, no. So now you have only a few weeks to think about it and dwell on it and all
well,
that
Well, and
shit.
The thing is, too, is, like, we already paid for housing, so it's not like I can, like, back out and I'm getting ready to buy my plane ticket, so it's, like, at this point,
we're staying in a house with 10 other girls. Yeah. So
oh, wow,
be
that'll be awesome.
Well, we're going for the podcast this time, too, because we figured, like, it would be silly to go to this event and for us to film content, because, like, for me, my girl-girl stuff does not sell very well. Like, mm-hmm. That's not what my clientele wants to see me do. They don't really like seeing me do the girl-girl stuff. And so it's like, it seems silly to do that. And so why not go to the convention and have stickers and have pins and have, like, a mic hooked up to our phone so we can do live interviews?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And, like, because that's our demographic. Like, people want to know about themselves, and, like, they get to hear things, and it's nice to be able to listen to something and be able to relate to it.
I was going
to
say, and you also can get your podcast out to other adult industry people that aren't cam models. You know
exactly.
What I mean? So it's,
yeah.
you know, porn stars or whatever else, you know, that may, who they have no idea it's out there. They're like, oh, shit. All right, I'll go on their podcast and talk about the adult film industry or whatever,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And we've had really good luck, like, getting guests. We haven't had much difficulty getting people to come on, but we definitely are, like, in with the cam. Like, mm-hmm. The industry we talk about on our podcast, the umbrella of sex work is so big now that, you know, we definitely are in, like, the cam girl part of it. And so getting guests that are outside of cam girls has been a little more difficult because they don't know us and they're not trusting mm-hmm. of us per se. Or so we get a lot of cam models that listen, but not so much the other aspects of sex work. So
right,
producing
right.
And it's so big. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think that could be a really big, good thing for you guys. I mean, just the exposure. I mean, mm-hmm. Shit, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We're hoping so. But yeah. I don't really have a low either. I guess last July, I had a cyst, and I couldn't work for, like, 6 weeks because I had to have surgery and stuff. Mm. And so, like, it was like I wasn't making any money, but I literally couldn't do anything about it.
Right,
so that
right.
kind of blew. Yeah, but. Yeah.
So let me ask you a random question. What do cam girls do when it's, like, that time of the month? Do you just not work that week or what? Like, or do you work around it?
I have literally had one period this year. I have endometriosis, and I've had one period this whole entire year, and it was, like, 3 days long. So for me, it doesn't matter. But my advice to girls that do get their periods is do spank shows, do tit shows, do blowjob shows.
Hitachi shows where there's no insertion. A lot of girls use, like, soft cups, I think they are.
Or you take seafoam sponges.
Yeah.
And wet them down a little bit, and you can shove them upside you. That's a porn trade secret.
No,
there
I
you go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that monthly is for a extended period of time, and you work, if, you know, some of those girls work consistently daily, all hours and hours, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah. I had a hysterectomy 11 years ago, so I forget.
You don't have that problem either.
I forget
yeah.
it happens.
Yeah.
Right. So luckily for you guys, you really don't have that issue because both of you don't really have periods.
Yeah, it is an issue for girls that do, so.
Yeah. So sorry that happens to you, ladies.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, right.
Sorry about your luck.
But
yeah, right?
I can never have another kid, so there's that, and you can, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You take the good with the bad, right?
Right.
You know, it's.
Yeah.
Now, do you have. If there happens to be any person listening right now that wants to get into this industry, what is any sort of advice you would give them? How to get in, what they should do, anything?
Go to sexworkbb.com and listen to our podcast.
There you go. You'll learn a lot there. Yeah, that's a good idea. Just go listen to our podcast. In my head, I was like, we talk about stuff. If you want to do it, do research before you start and decide to invest in a good camera. Invest in a good camera and good lighting when you start, because that's really important.
Okay. Do you guys have, like, a light setup for when you do shows and stuff? I mean, that's, like, an external, like, movie set type light setup sort of deal?
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of us use ring lights or
I have a box light.
Okay. So basically, if you want to start camming, make sure you get some sort of, like, professional lighting equipment to help you out so you aren't in the dark or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and be mentally prepared, too, that this job is not easy. It sounds easy because you're, like, quick money. It's not quick money. It's going to take a long time. You got to be consistent. And you have to realize, like, I don't Snapchat a lot on the weekends because my kids are home from school. But, like, I have to Snapchat and I have to, like, talk to people constantly. I have to be on social media constantly. I need to be promoting my videos. I need to be uploading to sites to make sure my videos stay at the top. Like,
you never really get to step away from it. Mm-hmm. And also be prepared for the stigmas that go with it. Know what you're getting into. A lot of girls, like, people will record our shows and then upload them on the internet, and the girls are like, one of my shows are recorded and I'm on the internet now naked, and I didn't know that was going to happen. And yeah, you're out there and you're going to be out there, and it could be there for a really long time. And there's girls who have lost custody of their children. There's girls who have not been able to get jobs. There's girls who, I mean, there's a lot of negativity that goes around it that you are putting yourself at the risk to. Mm-hmm. So just be aware that that is real and can happen, so that if it does happen to you, you're not like, I mean, I remember when my video got put up on Pornhub, I had no clue. And I was like, now what? You know, like you're in shock. So know the risk you're taking. You might not ever be able to get a job doing, you know, some things because.
Teaching.
Right.
You know, people, and one of the things is doing this, some people will assume that like you're some sort of sexual deviant because you do this stuff. And so they just assume be the worst of you.
Yeah.
Right. So have your mental preparedness as much as your physical equipment and hardware and all that stuff. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And have a thick skin. I mean, we deal with a lot of really great people, but we deal with a lot of really, really crappy people too. Yeah.
Yeah. And you touched on, Amy, you're doing it all the time. And I think that's true with any entertainment sort of thing. Like even like with this podcast, I mean, I'm constantly on Twitter replying to people that reply to me. If you don't do that, if you don't engage, people don't know. I mean, you have to push yourself out. You know what I mean? You know, especially when you first start and no one knows who the hell you are. Why are they going to listen to you or watch your show if they have no idea who the hell you are? You know, right. So.
Well, I think her and I were fortunate because we had already been, like, combined when we started doing it, we had, like, 11,000 followers from our personal, like, sex work accounts. And so we made the podcast and we're like, hey, we're doing this podcast. Come follow us. Come listen. So without that,
it was easier for us probably to start the podcast than it was for you guys. Where?
Oh yeah, I had no prior experience. I had no hookups. I had no whatever. I mean, I did everything from the ground up, man. I just put in a bunch of damn networking, and I'm constantly reaching out to people about being on the show. You know, you have to, or people are going to forget who you are. So
you become a marketer and we're that's why when people ask what we do, we're like, well, we're a marketer, graphic designer, cam girl, like, I mean, what do you want us to be? We pretty much do it. So
right, and people don't think about that. Even for, you know, for you guys, they don't want to think about, you need someone to put together your site and do your graphics, do your videos. If you don't know how to do it or aren't willing to learn, that's a lot of money you got to shell out or find other people to do it for free.
Who are you
going
to find to do it for you?
Right
I mean, people aren't, like, inclined to be like, oh, I'll make some graphics for your store. Like, there are models that pay people. Like, they've done it because there's no niche for it.
Right.
So.
Right, absolutely. TNT, you got anything else? You got anything else on your questions?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm just all enjoying.
Right. He got his joke in, so he's not.
He's been playing that shit.
4 weeks I've been holding that, he said. I know. Seriously.
Oh, so. No, but, guys, I mean, I had a blast. I really thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
do you guys want to tell everyone where to find you on your podcast, where you guys can cam, your Twitter, anything you want to give, just let everybody know so they can find you.
Yeah, let me get a pen and paper, though.
Uh-oh. Well, no, I think that her and I both, on this level, we don't really use the podcast to promote our own personal, like, videos and clip making. We don't do it for that. We do it for the podcast. Like, we're really passionate about this.
But since he shouted out your videos, there's probably a bunch of people curious where to get your videos.
Go to kyravids.com. Kyravids.com.
And then how do they follow you on Twitter for the podcast or your personal or whatever?
My personal is at Kyra, K-Y-R-A, Kane, K-A-N-E, M-F-C. That's my personal. And then Shay's is, you want to do it or you want me to do it?
Go for it.
at Shay, S-H-A-Y-E, underscore Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 3, mm-hmm. on Twitter. And yep. then our sex work BB is at sex work BB. And it's pretty easy. You can find
just
it.
Just the letter BB.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right.
Well, I just want to thank you guys so much for doing the interview, and then we'll be right back. And we are back on the Crazy Town Podcast, everyone. I hope that you enjoyed the final part of the interview with the Sex Work BB Podcast. What do you think, TNT? I thought that was a great interview. For us, for it being our first interview, I thought it went really well.
I enjoyed myself very much with that.
Yeah, those girls are awesome.
Those women were great.
Oh yeah, they're very cool. They're very chill. Go check out the Sex Work BB Podcast at Sex Work BB, the two letter B, letter B. And the podcast is actually very entertaining. If you don't know anything about like the sex work industry, it's a whole different world, man. It's definitely something to check out. I mean, it is. It's like it's so much different than what like the normal vanilla person would have any idea about.
Vanilla people? We call those Caucasian Americans.
I'm not getting into race terms, bro. I'm talking about vanilla as in boring. As in normal, as in like straight sex, as in, you know what I mean? Like walk the line, don't look, think, or you know what I mean? Don't have any sort of like.
Okay. I understand.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, yeah.
The term vanilla person just kind of, you know, I've got a lot of vanilla friends and I won't have
call
anybody.
White people when I'm not around, you call us vanilla.
No, but if I call anybody else calling my white friends with the shut up, Jonah. You know, it's not about me. It's about you.
Look, hey, you just ragged on me hard for my comma placement when I was talking about handicapped people. So I had to get you back for fucking... no. But anyways, everybody, that is all the time we have for today. The finale episode part 2. Actually, that has nothing to do with finale. I'm just talking shit. Episode 1.5, the second part of the season premiere of season 2. We did it. TNT, we made it to season 2.
We did.
That's
man.
The hardest part.
Is it?
Yeah. We could have quit.
Yeah, we could have.
Yeah. But thanks to all these wonderful fans reaching out.
And I'm glad that you're so, you're, what do you call that, motivated, almost to the point of annoyance.
I know, right? I'm sorry, sir. I
know.
No,
dude, it's good.
Well, you know, I've realized that in order to get people on the show and in order to do stuff, I have to be so persistent. So I have to just be like on top of it. Now I'm not just doing myself. That's what she said. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm like, hey, TNT, you ready to record? Hey, this guy, are you going to come on the show? Hey, this guy, when can we do this? Can we do it this day? All right. It's a lot of work, man. But you know what? I love it. It's a lot of fun. I'm super passionate about it now. So, you know, it's great. But you want to go ahead and tell everybody where they can find your non-updated YouTube channel?
Listen, TNT Dynamite. I'm on the YouTubes, TNT Dynamite, TNT D-I-N-O, you know how to spell it. I'm also on Twitter. You can probably find me right next to The Miz.
The Miz? Like yeah. The wrestler?
Yeah, dude. Me and him, we're basically, you know, like, I got his physique.
Yeah, yeah. He is from Ohio, not too far from where we're from, so I guess we're kind of all the same person.
Yeah, yeah, I look better, though. We're basically the same person, so yeah, just go to his and you'll find me. Easy.
Just go. You heard it here first, folks. Go to The Miz's Twitter and you'll see a picture of TNT Dynamite. So, all right, everybody. That is all the time that we have. So please, if you would follow us on Twitter at the Crazy Town Pod. If you don't, Uncle Rico is going to throw your football over the mountains.
Oh, wow. I actually know that reference.
<Ba-dum-boom>. iTunes, review us. 5 stars would be much appreciated. But if you don't feel we're 5 stars, I'll take what you give me. Reach out to us. Tell us what you think about us. Tell us what you hate about the show. SoundCloud.com/CrazyTownPodcast. Actually, it's just Crazy Town Podcast. And as I always say, the cornucopia of continuous information about the show, thecrazytown.com. But for TNT Dynamite and for Jonas, we are out.
Over.